More of Lake Effect now. I'm Mitch Teich. Johannes Brahms wrote his German Requiem as a memorial to his parents. The mid-19th century piece is thought by many scholars to be the composer's most personal work, and listeners frequently connect to its universal themes of loss as well. The Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra this weekend performs Brahms' Requiem under the direction of guest conductor Robert Spano, the music director for the Atlanta Symphony. Ahead of that performance, Spano joined Lake Effect's Bonnie North and talked about his own history with the piece.
Certainly one of the most memorable is when we recorded it in Atlanta. It's always a challenge when you're recording a work that has already been performed and recorded so much. And to try and not be willfully original and at the same time to explore it as freshly and with as much insight as you can bring to it is always a challenge. And there couldn't be a more rewarding score. So I think one of the things that I'm most taken with in it is Brahms' love of older music. Brahms was one of the first subscribers to the complete works of Bach. He was a great student of Renaissance music. There's a wonderful story of some decades ago finding a chest of manuscripts of Brahms, and everyone got all excited because we know he burned about two-thirds of his output. And what might there be? And it was all strict species counterpoint exercises. And I think something of that kind of discipline and with an ear to the past is very much in evidence in the Requiem. The choral writing reflects his intimate knowledge of Renaissance choral writing and Baroque choral writing.
It's also such a personal piece. Everything Brahms wrote was incredibly personal, I think. But this piece in particular, there's something so intimate about it.
I feel as you do, and I think that one of the astonishing things is in a work that has such a big canvas, that has such a public space quality, at the same time is an invitation into the heart of the composer. And that's an astonishing combination.
For you as a conductor, you're dealing with both the orchestra, of course, and the chorus. What are some of your challenges, other than, as you say, not to be willfully original in it, but what do you try to bring out in each ensemble that you work with?
Well, I think what the music asks of us is a great sensitivity to its subtlety, because the language is one where one chromatic alteration, one specific turn of a phrase, one technical use of something like augmentation or diminution has an emotional impact as well. I think it's a sensitivity to the craft and the attention to detail that Brahms brought to every note he put on the page. It's certainly an example of economy at the same time of emotional explosion. So I think the demand on us as performers is to be attentive to each turn in the road.
Really paying attention.
Really paying attention. I've always liked the phrase pay attention, because there is a sense of return on one's investment when one pays attention.
How does the Higden fit in with the Brahms for you? It's such an interesting pairing on the same program.
Well, I think the Higden has no overt connection to the Brahms, but it does intuitively, in terms of an evening and a menu of how we flow through this music. It's a wonderful setup to the Brahms, because it's a very intimate piece. The title is wonderfully poetic, Rivers Sing Song to Trees. And there is a gentleness and a warmth and a sense of natural beauty that infuses Jennifer's piece. This is the middle movement of the first commission I made when I went to the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. And Jennifer chose to write a piece. She spent part of her childhood in Atlanta, and she chose to write a piece connected to the city. And the first movement was Skyline, which spoke to how the skyline of the city has grown. The last movement was Peachtree Street, and as many people know, we have about 37 of those in Atlanta. And the middle movement was a kind of celebration, so the one we're doing, River Sing Song to Trees, of the natural beauty that infuses the city, because we are a very green city and we have many trees and beautiful parks and lots of green. And the piece, I think, captures the presence of nature even in an urban environment.
Well, and that fits so nicely here to Milwaukee, too, because we also have the lake and the trees and lots of park and greenland. And people here respond very much to the river right outside our studios right now.
As I did on a walk this morning. It was so beautiful to see that. And also driving in yesterday, what you're saying was so evident, and I was taken by the lake, and I think that's the spirit of this piece. And certainly that connects with Brahms' sensibilities in the sense of music connecting to the world in which we live.
I was also going to say that I think something else that connects the two of them is that sense of intimacy. You mentioned that in her piece too, this sort of very personal. We're back to that very personal reaction put out into the world.
I think you're right. And that's a beautiful link between them as well.
Have you worked with our symphony chorus before?
This is the first time, and I had the great pleasure of meeting them last night. And I fell in love, and they're just wonderful. And they clearly bring their wealth of experience with this piece, the Brahms, and it was a joyous evening.
So you're happy?
I'm very happy.
That's nice to know. You know, you never know when a guest conductor comes in and is used to working with a particular ensemble, you know, how you're going to find, because there's always challenges. Everyone brings their own thing to it.
And we do have a stupendous chorus in Atlanta with that beautiful Shaw legacy. But it's wonderful for me to come here and work with your chorus, because they similarly have a history and a legacy and an identity that distinguishes them. And that's something that, as performers, that's something I thrive on, is the meeting of – the collaborative meeting of histories and legacies and traditions. And it was thrilling.
I realize you've only had the one meeting so far, but what do you think distinguishes here? What makes it sound like the Milwaukee Symphony Chorus?
Well, to me, it was a kind of warmth and combined with a kind of sensitivity to detail. And that's something I feel very close to in my own work. At some level, I believe that the attention to detail and the precision of one's work is actually a great partner to the expressivity of it and to the emotional impact of it. I find those things make a great marriage, and it was very clear that that sensibility was present in this chorus. I encounter often rhetoric which implies there's some kind of tension or conflict between accuracy and expression. And it's always wonderful to encounter artists who find that they serve each other.
One of the other wonderful things that's happened around this particular concert is the 360 Project, which is bringing Brahms and the Higdon as well into the community into different ways. Is this something that you do in Atlanta as well? Do you have this?
We have versions of that, but I was hearing about your 360 initiative here when I arrived, and it just sounds fantastic to connect in so many different ways and to find so many different correspondences. I think that's thrilling. Our appreciation of the work itself is no doubt enhanced with its being placed in a larger context and being appreciated from so many perspectives.
Do you think that that's crucial to encourage audiences who may not normally gravitate to classical music, to get them to gravitate, to start appreciating the music in other ways maybe first?
I think it's the other way around. I think that one's appreciation is intuitive and immediate. I can't tell you how many people I've taken to or invited to the first concert of their life, even those who are in their 30s or 40s and they just happen to be going to their first orchestral concert of their life and they fall in love with it. Not because we told them anything about it, but because they had access to it. And I think that the interest in the wider context and the appreciation levels, like concentric circles that then develop out of that, I think that's really the way it works. But the spark, the seed, is the immediate reaction and perception and response to the music itself.
How do you think we get that to particularly children when so many music programs are being cut? I mean, what do you think is the responsibility of the classical music world to foster?
It's the responsibility of our society to reinstate music as part of our public education. And as long as we continue in our rhetoric about education, and clearly there's much of that and great concern, but as long as we continue to talk about it in terms of testing and hard sciences and don't appreciate the important role that the arts and humanities have to play in it, I think we will continue to stumble in our efforts towards a real education. I was very gratified to see that October is Arts and Humanities Month, according to our president. And I think that that has to become a more serious part of our educational dialogue and mission so that we don't regard the arts and humanities as some kind of frosting on a more important cake, but actually at the kernel of an educational process, because it is the human who's being educated, be that in mathematics or hard sciences or engineering or music or art. We have to start with the whole package of the human being, and the arts and humanities are the way that we address that part of our development. And it's also part of the development of the mind. And as we continue to study brain functions, and I've had some wonderful colleagues at Emory University share with me the kinds of brain mapping they're doing. It's kind of like those old commercials for drug prevention. This is your brain on drugs, and there's the egg frying in a pan. This is your brain on music. And they can actually now document what an incredibly synergistic role that kind of engagement plays in brain activity. So it's no surprise that Einstein played the violin.
Maestro, it has been such a pleasure having you in the studio and having this conversation with you, and best of luck with the performances.
It's been my pleasure. Great to talk with you. I'm so looking forward to them.
Robert Spano is a pianist and the music director of the Atlanta Symphony. He'll be guest conductor of the Milwaukee Symphony's performance of Brahms's German Requiem tonight through Sunday at the Marcus Center. He spoke with Bonnie North. One last break, and then the owners of an unusual collection of prints now on display at the Villa Terrace Museum. We'll meet the owners of the collection when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.